first chapter of the book of Isaiah. The first chapter of the book of Isaiah. While you're turning there, I'm going to quote a verse of a song. It's one most of you probably don't know, I would venture to say, talking about the times that we live in. And this is not the subject of our sermon or thoughts on our heart remotely, really. But there's a song the Black Eyed Peas used to sing. And it's called, "Where is the Love?" And part of that song says, "People killing, people dying, children hurt, and we're not crying." It goes on to go on. It says a few other things. It says, where's the love? Seems like there's not a whole lot of love in our world anymore, and we need to get back to loving one another, praying for one another, and being there for one another. And I pray that we'll do that in our country. I certainly pray for that. First chapter. Again, I don't usually do this, but I don't have to take my jacket off this morning. I hope that you'll bear with me for a little while as I do that. The first chapter of the book of Isaiah says, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz," or Amoz, "which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished, brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the donkey his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even into the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge and a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of your God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or the lamb or of lambs or of he goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." Our subject for a little bit this morning, if we could title it, would be worship, praise, and sacrifice. And I want to give you the definitions of all of those terms. Worship, it's the feeling of reverence or adoration for or to a deity. In our case, that would be God. Praise, warm approval or admiration. Sacrifice, giving something important up for the sake of another's consideration. Worship, praise, and sacrifice. I want you to call your attention. I'm not going to turn there. We could turn there if we had to. David, in one of his psalms, he said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord." Now, let's look at what Isaiah was telling Judah. He looked out and God was giving Isaiah a very clear description of what was going to happen to Judah. He told him, he said, "You're basically turning against me. Not only have you done that, but you're doing it now. And because that you've done that, everything about you I hate. There's not anything about you that's good anymore." He referenced them as Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, they were not Sodom and Gomorrah, but they were like unto Sodom and Gomorrah.
a place of wickedness and a place of filthiness and a place that God had poured out His wrath, and He let them know there in Judah, I am going to do the exact same to you. When He references Zion as a cottage in a vineyard, do you know where Zion was in Judah? It was the place where the temple was built. It was a grand place. And God says, you've left it as a cottage in a vineyard. You've let it just become something that's not needed or something that is what it's supposed to be. Then we get down unto the 13th through the 15th verses. And He says, stop bringing me vain oblations. Incense, it's an abomination. The blood of bullocks, the goats, the things that you're offering. I'm sick of them and I'm full of them. I've had enough of those things. You have given and given and given of those things, and I'm tired of it. Now, do you realize that's exactly what they were supposed to bring? When we look at Leviticus chapter 1, their offerings were supposed to be the best. Bring the best of your sacrifices. Bring the best of the things that you're coming to God with. Bring the best that you have. Well, I want you to know something. The world that they were living in, they'd stop doing that. They had stopped giving God the best. They'd started giving least, more and more. And I want you to realize something today, brothers and sisters. We are doing the exact same thing today. We stopped bringing God our best. I want to ask you a question. When is the last time you attended a worship service? And everybody should say, I'm in one right now. You know what we have on our sign out front? Between the space of about 11 and 12, sometimes 12:30, depending on how your big mouth preacher preaches, we have what we call a worship service. People all over the world today, all over our nation, all over the world, in other parts of the world, they're gathering themselves together, and they're coming into places much like we are, and they're saying that they're having a worship service. We say that we have a worship service. But how long has it really been since you and I have worshiped the Lord? Think about that. How long this morning has it been since God has been the very center of your attention as you began to worship Him? How long this morning has it been since God has been the very center of your life so that when you began He could feel those praises. I read, I believe over in the book of Amos, maybe the book of Micah, I'm not sure, I could find it if I had to. He said, you have brought me. He said, but here I am. And I'm ready to pour out a blessing that you couldn't even take. But you're not ready for it, and you're not even willing to receive what I am giving you. He said, I would open up the storehouses, the windows of heaven, and I would pour every one of you out a blessing. But would you be willing to work for it, to receive it? I thought about this, Brother Micah. I believe he may mention this. I made him a testimony or something a few weeks ago. And he said, how long has it been since we stopped asking God for a blessing and we started blessing God? Well, I want you to realize something. There in Judah, you know what they were doing? Just exactly what they'd always done. Well, guess what we've done this morning? We're coming to do the exact same thing that we've always done. And you say, preacher, you ought to be happy about that. I'm so thankful you're here this morning. I'm glad that you didn't choose to be anywhere else. I'm glad you're here. Why not worship? Why not praise? Preacher, you don't realize it's hard to worship in the situation that I'm in. It's hard to praise God when I feel like I have nothing to praise God about. If you've been saved, your very life ought to be a worship service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Your life, your day, every moment that you live should be a worship service to the Lord. It should be a praise to Him. What is worship? It's the feeling of reverence or admiration. How long has it been since you came to church and you came in the doors ready praise God and admire Him. Look on Him for a little while and say, here I am, God, and I want to worship You. You know, worship is more than just coming together, singing a few songs, praying a few prayers, preaching a sermon, shouting and testifying. It's more than that. We can do that all day, every day. But until we're lifting up and magnifying God with our songs, I say this all the time. We sing a song called, I Know I'm Saved. And I look around when we sing it, and you know what we all look like? I once was sad and lonely. I felt so all alone. Until I asked the Lord to take control. You know how we ought to sing that song? I know that I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Why do I know I'm saved? Because God lets me know I'm saved. We ought to sing it with everything we've got because we know. You know how the Bible says to sing? To sing in the Spirit.
Amen.
You know how we ought to worship? The same way the Bible says. They that worship me. How do they do that? In the Spirit and in the truth. How long has it been since you worshiped in the Spirit? And I mean giving yourself over to the Spirit. I preached a sermon in our revival last Sunday morning. And I said this, and then I remember it. I've heard people all my life. They'll talk about they used to come to church riding on their wagon, shouting down the road because they couldn't wait to get there. And nowadays, we get up on Sunday morning and say, oh, well, I've got to go. No. You can't come in here and worship God with the attitude, well, I've got to be there. When you come into God's house, we ought to come with a merry heart and a merry spirit. Bless your hearts. Church isn't something that you have to do. You could all go anywhere and you could do anything. You can. People say, I'll preach, is that good? Guess what? If you've been saved by the grace of God and you live that life, I pray that God squashes you like a bug. Why do I pray that? Read Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Let's turn over there and get it. I don't want to misquote it. I want every one of you to have it this morning. Why does this message have to come out like it does? Worship, praise, and sacrifice. You know why I'm concerned about our worship services? Not just here. I'm talking about everywhere. You know why I'm concerned about your worship? Not just here, but everywhere. Because we're failing to worship. Everywhere. Not just here. This should be the place that is easiest for us to worship. But we're failing to give God honor and glory, not just here, but everywhere else. Everywhere else. And you know what? God has been so good to us. He's given me more than I deserve. How in this world could I ever fail to worship Him? Romans chapter 12, it says, Paul's writing of the churches or church at Rome. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Get this next part. If you've been saved, I want you to get it. And I want you to get it good. That ye present your bodies. What? A living sacrifice. Holy. I'm going to go ahead and say this right now. Three will cost you nine. I hope every one of you show up on Wednesday night this week. We have looked at, we started this week, we're going to get back to Daniel, I promise. We're going to look at sanctification. We're going to look at growing in the Lord. You know what it says? A living sacrifice. Raise your hand if you're alive this morning. I hope I get every hand. This is one time I want everybody to raise their hands. You're all alive. You're alive this morning. What does it say beyond just being alive? Holy. What did 1 Peter say? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, guess what? It's something we've got to work on. Our worship services are suffering because we're bringing the world in to our worship services. This is not about the world. This is about God. This is about Him. This is about what He needs. He deserves. He deserves our utmost reverence and our utmost adoration. For a few moments of time, I wish that the world would just stop. You notice, I took that little thing called watch off this morning. I'm sick and tired of getting in this pulpit and looking at that watch. It's a distraction to me. Because guess what? At some time today, I've got to go back out there. And I've got to start facing the world again. But for a little while I'm here, I need to worship the Lord. A holy and acceptable. Now this is a place that has room for many, many interpretations. What's acceptable to you might not be acceptable to me. What's acceptable to you might not be acceptable to someone else. I want you to know what's acceptable to God. Doing things the way He wants you to do them. That's acceptable. We live in a world today where everything is accepted. I want you to know something. In your sacrifice, in your worship, in your praise to God, you know what is not acceptable? Anything else but God. Your idols, the things that you love, I don't care, and neither does He. And you know what the sad thing is? I'm standing up here this morning with my own idols. And you are too. When God's people, when they put aside the world, you will see things like you've never seen before. Go back to Acts chapter 2. Do you realize what it says there? Maybe chapter 3. When it gets to the part where they start going out and they start doing the work of the church. Guess what the last line says? It says they were praising God in one mind, in one accord. What a novelty. That's acceptable. What's acceptable? Putting God first. Acceptable is living your life in a way that pleases God. Living your life in such a way that not only do you worship Him here, but you never have to open your mouth and everybody around you knows, hey, something different about Him. The Bible says we're a peculiar people, a different people. We ought to look so different, walk so different, talk so different. Everybody around us ought to be able to know there's something different about those people. I'm going to throw this in again, extra. Won't cost you a dime. Our worship services in a church that claims to have the Spirit, they ought to be different than every worship service you see around you. You know why? Because the Spirit can be manufactured. But the true Spirit, you can't manufacture that. You can't. The true Spirit of God is something that you can't recreate. You can't make it on your own. Guess what? When the fire fell from heaven, it wasn't something they done. It came from God. And you know why it was that way? Because they came ready to worship and honor and praise the Lord. Now, some of you are going to go out here and say, that preacher just wants them to shout every Sunday. Or for them to do this and to do that. I love to hear people shout. I love to hear good testimonies. I love to hear good singing. But you know what worship is? It's between you and God. And I want all of us to worship the Lord. Whether that's quietly or whether that's out loud, I pray that we'll worship Him, admire Him, and love Him. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what? Half your service, part of your service, your reasonable service. It's reasonable to do that. It's not reasonable to do some things that we do. Do you realize that? Some people will go out of their way to do things the hard way. If you've never met one, come to work and I'll show you a few. There are people that are bound and determined to circumvent something that is easy. They're just always trying to do that. It's not reasonable to do some things, but it is reasonable to do the right things. It's reasonable to give yourself holy and acceptable unto God. It's not something strenuous. It's not something hard. It's our reasonable service And you know what? We should go above and beyond our reason for service. It shouldn't stop there. It should go far above and far beyond just reasonable service. Go on to chapter verse 2. You know how we have a good worship service? You know how you have a good worship service to the Lord? And be not conformed to this world. We've got to stop looking and acting like the world. But our church services, oh, brothers and sisters, I want to just throw this out. The way that we worship, I love. I absolutely 100% positively love the way that we sing our songs. I love our hymn books. I do. But do you realize they didn't worship like this forever? You'd be amazed. Back when the church at Rome was organized, do you think they had a grand piano? Somebody got in front of them and sang Amazing Grace? It is well with my soul. No. They had their songs. They had their way of worship. Now, I will say this. Worship services in general, they have even, and Paul speaks to where they have moved forward. They have become what they are today. But you know what we have in our worship services? Tools to aid our worship to the Lord. But our worship should never resemble the world. Because when we start resembling the world, we start worshiping the world. We start worshiping the things of the world. No. You know what the Bible says? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He deserves our same worship that they talked about in the beginning of the Bible. We talked about it in our Sunday school lesson this morning. That the heavens, they declare the glory of God. The seas, they clap their hands at the very presence of the Lord. If the seas, if the winds, if the mountains, if the trees, if they will worship and praise the Lord, why would we fail to worship the Lord? Brother Coleman made mention of this verse of Scripture in Sunday school. He was talking about those that were crying out to the Lord and they were talking about silencing them. And Jesus said, if you make them be quiet, I will make these erupts cry out. They'll cry out if you try to silence the ones that are praising my name. I'll make these very rocks. I'll make them praise me. Wouldn't it be sad, brothers and sisters, if the elements gave God more praise than His saved children did? Wouldn't that be horrible? Wouldn't that be just a disservice? And frankly, I think that we're given that way. That we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That we may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Last Sunday, I preached to you about being missionaries. About going out and telling the world, you know what God's will is? I'm going to rehash it for you. It's that all would come to repentance. You know how they're not going to come to repentance? Without Jesus. And you know who has to take Jesus to this world? You and I. If we're not transformed, if our worship services, when people who've never seen us before, when they come in and say, well, you know what? They seem like everybody else. What makes them different? And we get up here and say, oh, we're different people. We're saved. We're spiritual. We're God's people. When they look at us and say, well, you look just like everybody else. How in the world can we claim such a thing if we resemble the very one? To prove the will of God. How could we do that? I promise, I'm about through this morning, but I had to get this in. You all were doing a wonderful job this morning of praising the Lord, and I appreciate that. And I want us to continue. I believe this about Mount Calvary Church. You all love the Lord. But guess what? There's room to love Him more. There's room to love Him more. I want you to turn with me to the last Psalm. Psalm 150. Psalm 150. I want you to read it with me. Everybody that's here can read this with me. Psalm 150. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God where? In the sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for what? For His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with what? With the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with your instruments. The Bible says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I believe this morning that we can make a joyful noise with our voices, but also with the talents that God has given us. If God has given you a talent, you should use it for His honor and His glory. I believe that. We should. We should. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments, the organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. This is the one I love. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise Him this morning. Go back to what we first read in the first chapter of Isaiah. I hate that 15th verse. It is a hard verse for me to stomach. Read it. It says that when you spread forth your hands, when you do this, when you worship me, when you have lifted your hands to me, oh, I will hide my eyes from you. And when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands. You know what I hope? Not because I'm here, and not because you're here. My prayer is that when God looks upon the worship service that we have, He says, oh, those people, they worship me today. And He doesn't look at us and say, oh, you've lifted your hands toward me. You've prayed many prayers. I will not listen. I will not hear. I will not take you seriously. I want to ask you a question. This space of time that we have, most places give you an hour.
Our hour from 11 to 12 is up in case you haven't looked at your watches.
I have.
Read your own.
I have. It's past that time, I'm sure. Guess what? We give God sometimes 1 hour. One. You know how many hours there are in a week? And we give God one. And we expect God every time we pray to answer us. And when He doesn't, we say, well, why didn't He listen? And we give God one. You say, preacher, I pray. I acknowledge you more. I hope you do. I hope you do. Because if this is all that we give God, oh, we're in trouble. He gives us every breath that we breathe. You don't make it yourself. And if you've been saved, and the very best that you can offer God is one measly little hour. Be ashamed. I should be ashamed of myself because there are some days I get out of bed in the morning and I go through my entire day, and the next time I stop to say thank you, Lord, is when my feet come up from the end of the bed. How sad is that? I should be praising and worshiping the Lord all day long. The Bible says to pray how long? Without ceasing. Never stopping. So guess what, church? As those that claim to be saved, we ought to worship God all the time. We should. I am guilty as all of you. But there's one thing I wish we would all get away from. I've got to be the first. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in how what? In vain. When God's name comes out of our mouth, you know what it ought to be? Praise. It ought to be worship. But instead, guess what? The world has added their own last name to God. 66 books, thousands of pages, and I've yet to find where G-O-D has 4 letters. And you know what? We try to worship the Lord when we have vainly used his name, I do the same thing. And I should be ashamed of myself. Worship. Admiration. We all know that if you've been saved, you love the Lord. If you ever just stop and admire what he's done for you, how good that he's been. I've told you to do this before, and I have tried. I honestly have. I'd like for all of you to do it again. If you didn't do it the first time, do it this time. See how well it works out for you. Go home this afternoon. Every last one of you, I hope you do this. Go home. Get you a sheet of notebook paper out. Get you a sheet of paper out. Just get something right in you. And you start sitting there, and you start to list all of your blessings. Go home and do that. All of the things that God has blessed you with. And then I want you to look at that piece of paper. And guess what? You know what you'll find? There's not enough room. You just start going back. And you start listing off the times God's helped you, the things he's helped you with, the things he's done for you, the things he's given you. And then you see if you can't praise the Lord a little bit. If you can't worship the Lord a little bit. See if you can't give him a little more honor. Give him a little more glory. It's not one of those you do for me, I do for you type things. If God never does a thing for us, if the last thing that he did for me was save my soul, he would deserve, he would commandeer my love, my devotion, my admiration forever. And yet he chooses to continue to deal with and to love someone like me. And the best thing about that, he knows all about me. Is my good, my bad? He still loves me. How could I not praise him this morning? It's a casting crown song that is sung from time to time that says, I will praise you in the storm. You know how hard it is to praise God when everything around you is hard and bad and not going well? Well, sometimes that's the time to run out in the middle of the rain and say, God, thank you. Because if every mountain we had never had a valley with it, soon enough we wouldn't think that we needed God. We wouldn't think we needed God. So instead of being angry with God for everything that comes along, it's not so good, not so great, start praising him for it. See if it doesn't change your attitude about a bad situation. Praise. We've got places today, and they have what they call a praise and a worship team. You know what you will never see as long as I'm the pastor of this church and I'm not trying to be heavy-handed or high-minded? You're not going to have a praise and a worship team. Why do we not need one? Because every single one of you all has the ability to praise and worship the Lord. And we don't need just a few people to do it. I don't want just a few people to do it. I want all of us to praise and worship the Lord. We don't need that. What we need is more God. And we all need to feel the effects of God more.
Amen.
They that worship him must worship him in the Spirit. I'm going to leave you with this. How long has it been since you've felt the Spirit? And I don't mean just a little wisp of it. I'm talking about when you left the church house and it took everything you had. Get back into the car. But you were so excited to get here, to worship the Lord. Try this next Sunday or Wednesday night or tonight or when we have service. Try coming to the Lord's house expecting God to bless you and expecting and being excited to go. I'm not talking about getting out of bed saying, oh, it's
Brother Taylor, I got to tell you something. I've felt the Spirit ever since me and Kathy stopped smoking cigarettes. I'm on day 10 or 11. I can't do that. Yesterday when I cut the grass, man, I had so much energy. I got my good weed in here.